Now then, we'd like to read from over in the book of Ezekiel, 44th chapter, beginning to the first verse. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with us. Then he brought me back the way of the gate of the outward sanctuary, which looketh toward the east, and it was shut. Then said the Lord unto me, this gate shall be shut, it shall not be open, and no man shall enter in by it, because the Lord, the God of Israel, hath entered in by it. Therefore it shall be shut. It is for the prince. He shall sit in it to eat bread before the Lord. He shall enter by the way of the porch of that gate and shall go out by the way of the same. Then brought he me the way of the north gate before the house. And I looked and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell upon my face. The Lord said unto me, Son of man, mark well, and behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears all that I say unto thee concerning all the ordinances of the house of the Lord and all the laws thereof. And mark well the entering in of the house and with every going forth of the sanctuary. And thou shalt say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, O ye house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your abominations, in that ye have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, when ye offered my bread, the fat, and the blood. And they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations. Ye have not kept the charge of mine holy things, but ye have set keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourself. Thus saith the Lord God, no stranger, uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary of any stranger that is among the children of Israel. And the Levites that are gone away far from me, when Israel went away, went astray, which went astray from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having charges at the gates of the house, and ministering to the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister unto them, because they ministered unto them before their idols, and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore have I lifted up mine hand against them, saith the Lord God, and they shall bear their iniquity, and they shall not come near unto me to do the office of a priest unto me, nor to come near to any of my holy things in the most holy place. But they shall bear their shame and their abomination which they have committed. But I will make them keepers of the charge of the house, for all the service thereof, and for all that shall be done therein. But the priests, the Levites, the son of Sadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. And it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments. No wool shall come upon them while they minister in the gates of the inner courts. And within they shall have linen bonnets upon their heads and shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not girt themselves with anything that causeth sweat. And when they go forth into the outer courts, even into the outer court to the people, they shall put off their garments wherein they minister and lay them in the holy chambers. And they shall put own other garments, and they shall not sanctify the people with their garments, neither shall they shave their heads, nor suffer their locks to grow long. They shall not only poll their heads, neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the inner court. Neither shall they take for their wives a widow, nor her that is put away, but they shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Israel, or a widow that had a priest before. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And in controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments, and they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all mine assemblies. And they shall hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall come at no dead person to defile themselves, but for father or for mother or for son or for daughter, for brother or for sister that hath had no husband, they may defile themselves. And after he is cleansed, they shall reckon unto him 7 days. And in the day that he goeth into the sanctuary under the inner court to minister in the sanctuary, he shall offer his sin offering, saith the Lord God. And it shall be unto him for an inheritance. I am their inheritance, and ye shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. They shall eat the meat offering and the sin offering and the trespass offering, and every dedicated thing in Israel shall be theirs. And the first of all the firstfruits of all things, and every oblation of all, of every sort of your oblation, shall be the priest. Ye shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough, that he may cause the blessing to rest in thine house. The priest shall not eat of anything that is dead of itself, or torn, whether it be fowl or beast. Now, here in the 44th chapter, we find where the Lord tells them in the 7th verse that you polluted the house of God. He said, and ye have broken my covenant. You have polluted the house of God, and ye have broken my covenant. Now, I'd like to talk with you just a little bit concerning the covenant of the Lord, or the broken covenant. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have a covenant with Christ. It's a wonderful thing to be able to know that you are part of something that is so great that it relates to the Almighty God. Now, to be able to relate to God is the greatest thing that will ever happen to you. You might say, well, Brother Pike, I don't see where there is any real thing to be excited over just because you relate to God. But there is. If you can relate to God, or if you do relate to God, then that's the greatest thing that can ever happen to humanity during all of his lifetime. Because if you cannot relate to God, it is a positive proof that you are a seed of the serpent, and that you do not have an inheritance with God, and you do not have a heavenly Father. So then if your nature doesn't relate to the Holy Spirit or relate to God, then you are an alien and you are alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, as the Bible puts it. So then to feel a little tugging toward God, or to feel a little drawing toward righteous things, or to have an inclination, an inward intuition that causes you to want to do what's right, or to want to think upon the right way of life, is the greatest thing, or the greatest assets that humanity will ever have. Because if that doesn't exist in your life and in your heart, then you are in for great problems throughout eternity. Now, so then we understand that having a relation with God is the greatest gift that man can get through his lifetime. Now, we may do a lot of things. God may bless us with a lot of things. He may do a lot of good things for us. But see, no matter what God does for us, he might give us a home. He might give us an automobile. He might give us fine clothing. He might favor us as far as appearance. Our children might get good educations and might get along all right through life. But see, that doesn't suffice for that thing that has to be relative to God within your heart. All right, now, so we see that there is something wonderful for those that can relate to God. There is something wonderful for those that are in store for those that can relate to God. The Bible said, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of mankind at any time the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But he hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. That is, he hath made it a spiritual revelation. Though you cannot go to college and learn about it, you can hear the greatest orators in the world, the greatest lecturers in the world, the greatest powers of intelligence in the world from the colleges and whatever it might be. But the Bible said they have never, in all of their brilliance, never at any time seen with their eyes, nor heard with their ears, what God hath in store for them that love him. It is so great and so mighty and so wonderful that it excels the human mind and the human thought. So then all of the goodies of life, as we would say, all of the things of life that we see, all of the brilliance of life that we behold, it has nothing in comparison with those things up there. As a matter of fact, Paul one time, speaking to the people, said, would you desire to be in bondage again to the beggarly elements of this world? And he referred to these things of the earth, though they're so glorious, though kings and queens of the earth seek to obtain them, yet Paul, after having been caught up to the third heaven, saw the great things of God, come back and took one look at the things in this world. He said, do you desire again to be in bondage to the beggarly elements of this world? After having tasted of the good things of God, after having been made known that you can live eternally, when down here you can live maybe 50 or maybe 100 years at the very best, we would say, if you make it that long, 60 or 70 years, and you want to trade eternal life for those few feeble years, and up there every day of your life throughout eternity will be one of splendor and one of greatness and one of goodness and one of radiance, and you want to trade all of that for a few miserable, wretched days down here? King Solomon having all the gold and the silver, everything that life could wish for, and yet he looked at all of it, he said, it's vanity and vexation of my spirit. He said, all that I have, said, it doesn't do me any good. He said, it just vexes the spiritual part of me. That part that wants to relate to God, it just gets in the way of that, Solomon said. And he said, it's just a few days and full of trouble when you got it anyway. All of it that you have, he said, it's just a few days and full of trouble. And so then we see that all that we can obtain unto in this world doesn't even touch the beauty and the radiance of Christian living and of eternal life. A world of beauty, a world of youth, a world of eternal goodness, a world of splendor, a world of power, a world of magnificence that's given to those that love the Lord Jesus Christ. So then we see that it is needful for us to have something on the inside that can relate to God. It's absolutely necessary. It's necessitated in life that we find some means, some measure to be able to relate to the great Holy Spirit. If we don't, then we're really in trouble, folks. All right, so we find here that the great problem with Israel was that they did not relate to God. They could not relate to God. Why was it Israel could not relate to God? Here they went through all the ritualistics. Everything that God told them to do, as far as the ritualistics, they went through those ritualistics. They would fast. They would pray. They would go through the ritualistics. They would set up a tabernacle. They would make all of the beauties and splendors of life to adorn the tabernacle. Everything that God wanted as far as the natural was concerned. But they still couldn't relate to God. They were always rebellious, always contrary, always breaking the covenant of God. No matter what they did, they would break the covenant of God. And here was Moses up on the mountain. Here high in the mountain over there trying to get some understanding from God. Here was the children of Israel down in the valley with Aaron, breaking the covenant of God, not being able to relate to the covenant of God. Isn't that something? Here you find them down in the valley. Aaron said, I'll build you a golden calf and let you worship the golden calf. They related to the golden calf. You understand what I'm saying? Whatever they did, they would relate to it. We'll have a great supper like in the day we're living in. Take the churches today. While they can have programs, they can have suppers, they can have dinners, they can have anything they want to in the natural. And the people will relate to it. And they'll have a great big turnout, even a great evangelistic crusade. As long as it's in the natural, as long as it's just some natural thing, you know, of programs and whatever, a protracted meeting, they'll relate to it. But let something spiritual get in it. Let something spiritual begin to move. Let something spiritual begin to happen. And they can't relate to that. Why is it? Because they've never been born again. Thousands upon thousands of people that are church members that go to church everywhere, belongs to all kind of walks of life, but they can't relate to God because they've never been born again. Jesus said, lest ye be born again, ye shall not see the kingdom of God. See, I have not seen the kingdom of God. I have not seen that which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Ear hath not heard what the Spirit saith unto the churches. For the Bible tells us that ear hath not heard. The ear hath not heard what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. So then thousands upon thousands of people gathered together. But look what happens to them. I was looking at a little book, I believe it was yesterday, a man that's had crusades, had great outstanding meetings, draw thousands upon thousands of people. And I was telling Brother Taylor, I said, let me show you why he had the thousands upon thousands. Let me show you the reason why. And I thumbed through the book and I showed it to him, and it was obvious. Is that right, Brother Taylor? No way to deny it, that that's why he had the thousands of people to flock in there to him. But the same man God showed me would fall away in his old age, and he fell away in his old age. I said, years ago, he's not relating to God like he ought to, and he fell away in his old age because it had to do with the natural. So then his whole ministry, his whole life, has related to the natural and has gone back out into the world of where he came from. So it is absolutely imperative to our eternal security and our future that we have something on the inside that will relate to God. It doesn't matter if we come to church. It doesn't matter if we pay tithes. It doesn't matter if we get together and have a brotherhood. Brothers and sisters, we're going to have God's Spirit on the inside of our heart. The Bible said if you have not God's Spirit, you're none of His. Now you would say, but Brother Pike, the Bible tells me that it'll come to pass, whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved, and that if we believe in the name of the Lord, we'll be saved. I know that, and I've said this so many times. There's many evangelists that have protracted meetings, have great crusades. They say, just come forward, give me your right hand to fellowship, or you just believe on the Lord. And they say, now that you're saved, you say, I believe on the Lord. So they say that you're saved, but that's not Bible. See, it doesn't matter how much you believe on the Lord. The Bible said if you have not God's Spirit, you're none of His. The thing is, whether you believe or don't believe, do you have God's Spirit? The Bible said, be filled with the Spirit. God is a Spirit. There is no eternal life except God. You say, but Brother Pike, what kind of God is that? Paul said, God is the Spirit of holiness. There is no other God except the Spirit of holiness. God is the Spirit of life, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of radiance and beauty, the Spirit of eternal life, the eternal fountain, the great, wonderful, eternal light that comes down from heaven, who no man has seen or can see. God is that life. He is the Spirit of holiness. If that Spirit of holiness is on the inside of you, the Bible teaches that it will control your mind, compel your members to function according to the Bible teachings, which is the laws that preserve life and which is the laws of holiness. If that nature is on the inside of you, that Jesus nature, that Christ nature, that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Brothers and sisters, it will cause you to relate to God. And who is God? The Bible said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word today still is God. So the Holy Spirit on the inside of you will relate back to God, relate back to the Word. And the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of truth, will testify of the Word of God. It will testify in deed, in word, in everything you do. It will testify of the lovely Word of God. So then we see that it is imperative that we have something on the inside of us that will relate to God. It's got to relate to God, else we are not gods. So then Israel could not relate to God because they did not have God's Spirit. They did not have God's Spirit. God's Spirit was with them, but they did not have the infilling of the Holy Ghost. They did not have the infilling or the indwelling of the Holy Spirit on the inside. Therefore, they could not relate to God. They were natural. They did all the ordinances that Moses commanded them to do, like church ritualistics. Go to church, do this, be faithful on Sunday morning, get up for early morning mass, enter in before daybreak a lot of time, do all those things. But brothers and sisters, that will not translate your spirit into eternal life. Now remember this, we're not going through some natural episode of life to where after a while God's just going to break the heaven and reach down and catch a bunch of natural people away. That isn't going to happen. You say, Brother Pike, don't you believe that Christ Jesus is coming from heaven? I do believe that Jesus will come from heaven. The Bible said in Thessalonians that the Lord Himself, not somebody else, not a prophet, but Christ Jesus Himself shall descend from heaven. And that with the trump of God, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, Christ Himself shall come back. And the Bible said, we which are alive and remain shall not exceed the dead in Christ. For the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be changed. And then caught up into the air to be with the Lord, so shall we ever be with Him. I believe that. That's the redemption of the body. But brothers and sisters, long before that change takes place, you have got to have a spiritual change inside of you and a new birth on the inside of you. And you've got to be changed from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Or that is to say, if faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God, you've got to get revelation after revelation and understanding after understanding and be translated proportionally from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from revelation to revelation on the inner man until that inner man finishes his course just like a child going to school. You put that child in school at an early age. And that child goes through school, he goes through the kindergarten and then the first grade and on through grammar school and right on and on and on until he finishes. Then when he finishes, he gets a diploma. So then he is ready for service. Now then, so it is with us. It's the same way with God. God puts us in school. We must be processed. We must continue on to what Paul referred to as the bar mitzvah, the receiving, or the receiving of as sonship, or that which brings us into manhood, as we would say. The bar mitzvah that makes us eligible for our inheritance from our Heavenly Father. So then we are moving from glory to glory. We are learning. We are being tutored. Paul said after that we are born again, baptized in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, hid with Him in the water. As far as the body is concerned, signifying that our soul or inner man that has been hid away with Him in the spiritual waters of life by the washing of regeneration. Once we do this, then we are hid from the world. We are separated from the world. We are dead to the world by the body of Jesus Christ. But we are alive unto God. We are through with the world. We are not interested in the world anymore. We're not trying to obtain the wealth and power and education and the goodies of the world. We're not interested in that. But we are dead to that. We are dead to those things. But we are interested in obtaining the favor of God and the riches of heaven and the glory and prestige of that city that is to come. It isn't that we don't have the things of this life, because God gives us everything in this life. The Bible tells us that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. He will give us health. He'll give us happiness. He'll give us all the things that we need in this world down here. Everything. We can have everything. But the thing is, it has to go through the filter of God. We can't use it for the lust of the flesh. Now, you have your human desire. God hath not denied you one thing concerning your human desire. Now, you check back in every human passion and every human desire. God hath made a way. God hath allowed for it. But brothers, when we start to get into perversion and we use our human desire outside of the Word of God, and we use our human intelligence and our human ability outside of the Word of God, then we're in trouble with God, because God makes no allowance for that kind of thing. So then we can be happy people, whole people, because the world and everything in it belongs to you and I. All that God ever made, He made for you and I. The Bible tells us that He made the earth to be inhabited. We're supposed to inhabit the earth. Now, so it's yours and it's mine. All things are yours, Jesus said. But beyond that, we must have a spiritual relation with God. If we do not have that spiritual relation with God, then we stand as those that have broken the covenant of God. See, we break the covenant of God. Now, we've got the message here that we preach concerning the covenant of God, and we call it covering by another covering. How do you know what the covenant of God is? When you say a covenant like the cherubs that cover over like this, over the mercy seat, wing to wing, tip to tip, the covering of His glory. We've got a message called the covering of His glory. How that Eve lost the covering of that glory. How that she lost it because she rebelled against her husband and would not be obedient to her husband. And according to the Bible, when a man is a Christian, that he is the covering of the wife. And that which is in heaven, up there, that's where the cherubs were covering the mercy seat. But in the earth, it's the man that is the covering of the woman. He is her garment. He is her head. And her head is the covering. That's why the Bible uses the term that if any woman, if she shaved her head, that she is unclean in the sight of God. That she dishonoreth her head. See, if she cuts her hair all too short up here, then she dishonoreth her head. Because the Bible said the government is upon the shoulders. Which means a woman's hair is a type of the glory of God, which is in the church. And that glory is a type of the strength as it was in the days of Samson. And it must be upon the shoulders. And it was when Delilah cut that off that Samson lost that strength, which was the glory of God. You understand what I'm saying? So then when a woman cuts her hair short, The Bible uses the term, the church of God has no such custom. It's all as if she was shaven because she dishonored her head. And who is her head? That's her husband. In other words, it shows that the government of the husband, which is the controlling power, the ruling power, that she no longer accepts it because it is not on her shoulders anymore. Now the devil causes people to do this in their ignorance because he doesn't want the woman to look as the church would look. See, the church has cut off the ruling authority of God. The church has broken the covenant. The church has done away with the Word of God. And the world today is showing it by the way that the woman does. She's in rebellion. Her hair is cut off. She's going through this life here, and everybody that sees her sees a type of Satan and the world married together, not the church, which has the government on the shoulders. So then, we see by this that the man being the covenant or the covering to the woman, the head to the woman, the covenant to the woman, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then we see that God is the head of Christ. Christ, the Bible tells us, is the head of the man, and the man is the head of the woman, the Bible tells us. So then we have salvation through the covenant if we don't break the covenant. I would say, but Brother Pike, you don't mean to tell me that if I break the laws of my husband, I broke the covenant of God? Absolutely. The Bible states over here that you should reverence your husband, that you should reverence him and honor him and obey him in all things, because this is the way it's supposed to be. And if you don't do that, then haven't you broke the word of God? If he says to honor thy husband, obey thy husband, if he tells you to be loyal to your husband, respect your husband, if you break that, don't you break the word of God? Isn't it that you're saved by faith in the word of God? And when you refuse to honor the word of God, you broke the covenant because you're saved by faith in the word. So it is the word of God that said do that. And it's your faith in that that saves you. Every person has a place. A man has a place. A woman has a place. Every person has a place. There's going to be hundreds of thousands of people lost because they will not stay in their place. Now then, I have to honor my husband. Who is my husband? Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, he's my head. He's the head of every man. I must honor him. I must honor Christ Jesus. Why must I do that? Because he hath proved himself to be the stronger. He came down in his human veil. He walked among mankind. He proved himself to be stronger than me, stronger than you, stronger than every man. So then every man is weaker than he. So every man must lean upon him. Therefore the woman is the same. She's weaker than the man. And she must lean upon the man. Though in her intelligence, she feels like she's right. Though in her understanding, she feels like she's right. She feels like what she does is all right and the man's all mixed up. That's the way the people feel. See, in the world today, we feel like if we do this or we do that, if we participate in sports or we participate in frolic or we do the things that makes us feel good, we say that's all right. God loves us. God understands. But he doesn't. See, that's why we must accept our head and understand what our head says about it. Because in our flesh, we relate to the things of the world. Like Jesus said one time concerning Satan. Peter came up to him. Now look at this, how innocent this would be. Peter said to him, Jesus said, I got to die at Calvary, Peter. Peter said, nay, Lord. Now just look at that. How could Jesus say the cruel things he said as we would say if that was cruel? See, Peter said, nay, Lord, be it far from thee. We're not going to let you die at Calvary. Why, don't you know, Lord, we're not going to stand by. Here we are, 12 strong, husky men, and you're talking about us standing by and letting some wretch come up and nail you to the tree. Why, you know we're not going to do that. Now look what Jesus did. Why, ordinarily he would have said, well, praise God for Peter. Peter is concerned about me. But he didn't do that, did he? He looked at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savest the things that be of this world and not the things that be of God. Why did Jesus do that? Why? That was so cruel as far as the natural look at it. Isn't that right? That was so cruel as far as our natural look. See, because here Peter wanted to help him. Peter didn't want him to die. Peter wanted to love him. Peter wanted to keep him with him. But see, Jesus knew that he came into this world to die for sin. He knew that that was the program of Christ. That was the program of God for his life. He came here for this cause came I into the world, he said. I come here to die for sin. What if he had not died? What if he had listened to Peter? What if he'd said, now, Peter, you're so wonderful, and I'm going to stand with you, and you stand with me, and you're not going to let them crucify me, and we're going to make it through this thing. Where would Brother Pike be today? There would be no redemption for me, nor any of you, nor your children. If he had listened to that satanic power that spoke through Peter, today you and I would be lost, and the entire world would be lost. But you say, Brother Pike, that was such a simple thing, yet it was the devil that was doing that. The devil was trying to hinder the atonement. And see, the little things that you feel like are so simple in your life, it's the same way. It might seem good. But see, the thing is, it's such a horrible thing because it stands in the way of God. Now let's just narrow it down a little more. The Bible said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. You come in here, he said, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't do that, but meditate in the laws of God day and night. We come into the sanctuary and we think, well, me thinking this, that don't hinder God, but it does hinder God. It does. Your thoughts are the means by which life or death comes into your vessel. Your thoughts are the means, the Bible tells us, while accusing or excusing one another. Your thoughts are the means by which power is coming in, whether it's God's spirit or whether it's Satan's spirit. Every thought that comes to your mind has to be from one of three spirits. And that is God's spirit, human spirit, or Satan's spirit. Is that right? Every one of them has to come from one of them three spirits. And remember this, that your spirit at this point is subject to the powers of the devil. Whatever you think in your spirit is one with Satan's spirit until you are born again and Satan is cast out of your heart. Now you say, well, I never did let Satan into my heart. Listen, beloved friend, the Bible teaches that when you're born into this world, you're born of the powers of Satan. When you come into this world, you've got Satan inside of your heart right then and there. That's why it doesn't do you any good to join the church. It only makes a proselyte out of you and makes you think you're all right when you're not all right. It's just like a person that's got the disease of cancer in their bloodstream and they go to some doctor that out there that don't know what he's doing. And there's a lot of them today. You go to some doctor out there and he don't know what he's doing. So he said, that's all right, I'll admit you to the hospital. So he admits you to the hospital. The nurse comes around and she feeds you a little food two or three times a day and you rest. And the doctor says, now you're fine. You can go home. Now, does that help your situation? No. You've been a fool to listen to that doctor. That doctor's a foolish person. That isn't going to do any good. Joining the church isn't going to help you. There's got to be something that'll get down into the bloodstream and eradicate the disease out of your body. Something's got to go in there. He's got to give you some kind of serum. He's got to inject something into your body. He's got to counteract that death because it's inside of you and it'll eat you up. And it's the same way with sin. Sin is in your heart. Brothers and sisters, joining the church won't do it. But when God's great spirit comes down in your heart, it'll go through there and it'll eradicate sin and move it right out. Not only that, but sickness too. Like when that viper latched on to Paul, and Paul shook it off in the fire, and that poison spread through the bloodstream. But the Holy Spirit moved in there and counteracted that and killed that poison just like that. Paul went on his way and they said, my, he must be a God. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, so we see that there's really something to this Holy Spirit. There's really something to having the Spirit of God. There's really something to it when Paul said you have heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels. There is something when the Bible speaks of the kingdom of God being on the inside of you. There's really something to it when God speaks of us having his Spirit in this world inside of us. Now the Bible said if any man teaches anything else outside of Christ, that is the Holy Spirit, coming and living in the heart of mankind in the temple of God, if any man teach anything else, he is an antichrist. That is, he is anti to the teachings that Christ lives in the human body. For if any man deny that Christ is presently come in the flesh, he is antichrist. Christ, who is Christ? The Bible said the last man, Adam, that is Christ, was made a quickening spirit. He is inside of my heart. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So then we see what a beautiful thing it is to have God in our heart is to have eternal life. And to have eternal life is to be able to stand up in the world and witness and say, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. While church members and thousands of people believe and go to and fro throughout the world, and they don't know where they're going, and they don't know what they're doing, and they don't know how to do it. Why in the Old Testament they couldn't serve the Ark of the Covenant? The Bible said the Philistines got that Ark of the Covenant over there, and those people that was heathens and the uncircumcised got the Ark of the Covenant, and the Bible said every way that they turned, it was nothing but diseases. That's what's wrong with the world today. If they give the covenant back to God's people, everything will be all right. Because we know that we must serve it in the beauty of holiness. For the voice spoke back in John's day and said, thou shalt serve me in righteousness and holiness all the days of your life. So then we know how to worship that ark. We know how to serve that ark. But just as quick as that ark got away from Israel and got over there in the land of the Philistines, they tried to worship it with programs and everything else. And they said, while we've got this religious thing now, we've got it away from that bunch of fanatics, we've got the Ark of the Covenant over here. That means God's going to bless us. But friend, God isn't going to bless them. They had been better off if they had never been religious. It's better to have never known the ways of God than it is to know the ways of God and then depart from the Holy Scriptures. So then, they'd been better if they'd never become religious. But see, they wanted security. They had that feeling of insecurity when they couldn't relate to the things of God. So that they've made a natural formality out of it. They've set up colleges. They've processed preachers. They've sent them through colleges and everything else and set them churches up. Got great money schemes going. And the Bible said everyone turns his own quarter for his own gain. Letting the house of God, the true house of God, that is you and I, lay waste by not preparing our hearts before God and being what we ought to in the sight of the Lord. So they didn't know how to serve it. They'd done everything they know. They had their programs. They had their suppers. They had their get-togethers. Everything, their reunions, but it didn't work. Every time they'd go to worship it, here come another plague. See, cancer, TB, heart trouble, wars, tornadoes, all of these things are coming, see, because they don't know how to worship it. And finally, one day, they came to the place, and they said, get this thing out of here. Get this Ark of the Covenant out of here. Said, it's killing us. Said, it's killing us. Get this thing out of here. You know, that's what the world's going to do one day. Now, you say, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. As I live before God, the world is going to say, we don't want anything to do with religion. Let that bunch of fanatics have it and let's live it up and be out here in the world. Because this thing is killing us. That's right. And they'll give it back to us in the day that we get the Ark of the Covenant back. Now you say, Brother Pike, you don't believe that the Ark of the Covenant has departed from the true children of God. The Bible said that the kingdom of God has suffered violence since the days of John. And it said that that violence has taken it by force. Is that right? That means that the intellectual powers of Satan, which is the violence of the earth, has closed in on God's people, which is the kingdom of God within, put them in slavery like they did the children of Israel, and they've taken the religious matters into their own hands, like the Jim Jones case, a bunch of murderers down there, Jim Jones, and that then the authorities want to close in on God's people. Every evil, degraded, unrighteous thing that happens, they want to blame God's people with it. So then, you understand what I'm saying? The violence taketh it by force. But the Bible said the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom. Isn't that right? They shall rise up and take the kingdom. Satan shall wear out the saints of God. He shall wear them out and they'll have no strength. And then all of a sudden from heaven, from deep down within the deep, calling to the deep, the power of God will begin to move. And the Bible teaches that they'll rise up and they'll shake the world and they'll take the kingdom. Hallelujah. And that time is close at hand, children of God. So then all the Philistines ever done was break the covenant. Give me a few more minutes and we're going to close. Now, all that they ever did was break the covenant of God. They broke it. They couldn't worship it. They didn't know how to worship it. If you don't have the Holy Spirit on the inside, you'll become a religious fanatic. You'll become some person that don't know what you're doing. If you don't have the Holy Spirit on the inside, then you're none of His. You're wasting your time. Why bother with religion? See, eat, drink, and live it up, because you're going to die anyway. Eat, drink, and be merry, because God's going to kill you anyway. because you won't relate to Him, because you won't serve Him. He made these human bodies to serve Him. The Bible teaches that man and woman is made for the glory of God. That's our Creator. You know, we get into such a terrible complex of life. We get into a place to where we feel like, well, I'm a human being. I've got my own decision. I've heard it so many times. Somebody say, you got your religion and I got my religion and we'll do it our way. Oh, friend, don't be so foolish. There ain't no such thing in the world. God never created a bunch of people to set them down here and say, you go this way and you go that way and you go that way and do whatever you want to. Just don't be arguing with each other. Somebody said, don't you say nothing about this religion. Don't you say nothing about that religion. No, don't you dare do that. Them's devils and demons. There ain't but one religion, true and undefiled religion before God. The Bible said, it's this, that you visit the widows and the orphans in their affliction and keep yourself unspotted from the world. Outside of that, there is no religion and there's not but one faith. Somebody said, well, when you leave this church, you departed from the faith. That's a lie. There's only one faith, and that's faith by the hearing of the Word of God. The Bible said in the last days they will depart from the faith of the hearing of the Word of God, giving heed to seducing spirits and religious doctrines of the devil. So then he said, what I say unto one, I say unto all. He has created us and we are His people. We cannot go different ways. He said, when I bring Zion again, they all shall see eye to eye, every one of them. Now somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you don't agree with me and I don't agree with you and we don't agree with each other. Don't be foolish. You're going to have to agree with me, and I'm going to have to agree with you. If we don't agree with each other, then one of us is wrong. Come on now. I said, if you and I can't get together, somebody's wrong. Either Brother Pike's mixed up or you mixed up. Because when Zion comes, God's going to link them together. All of them are going to see eye to eye. They're not going to be fighting and bickering and backbiting and chopping each other up. And the Bible said they're not going to pierce each other through. They're going to see eye to eye. Now the devil said, well, I don't see it the way you see it. You know why the devil don't see it the way that you see it? Because you see it God's way. You see it the Bible way. And the devil is in that human body. And the devil will talk to that human being to get that human being to go every way but the Word way. The devil will do that. Because the devil knows that if he goes to the Word, he's cast out of that human body. Because the Bible said God cast out the spirits by His Word. He sent His Word and healed them. And as quick as that human being's mind acknowledges the Word of God, Satan is gone. Hallelujah. And he knows he's got to get out of that temple. So he'll wrestle and he'll fret, he'll stew, he'll do anything to turn it around to keep from going to the Word. But oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad the Bible said, preach the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, preach the Word. That's what we're supposed to do, is preach the Word. All right, I tell you what, I feel like we preach another hour yet, so I better quit. All right, let's stand together. It's been a wonderful audience. Listen real good, and I don't mean to scream at you, but I get excited. Oh my, I don't see how you could have anything to do with the Word of God and not get excited. Surely to the great God of heaven, a person that talks about this or fellowships in this and don't get excited, there's something missing somewhere. There's just got to be. My, this is like a river bubbling up within my soul. It's like a super strength that I can't explain, that eliminates every problem, every heartache, every depressed feeling. Just bubbles from within every blood gene in my body. Such rest and such peace. We sang that song, peace, peace. Wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in your fathomless billows of love. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Let's sing just a little bit of that chorus. Can we? Brother Taylor, you done forgot how to play the piano. Let's sing that, can we? Oh, it's peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in your fathomless billows of love. Can you sing it again? Oh, it's peace. Lift your hands, will you? Oh, it's peace. Can you close your eyes and lift your hand? Wonderful peace. It's coming down from my Father up above. Oh, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In your battle-less billows of love. Hallelujah. While you've got your hands lifted up now and your eyes closed, let's just, the Bible said, examine yourselves. See if you be in the faith. Just examine yourselves and say, Jesus, is there anything in me that relates to life? Dear God, am I actually cut off from life? Will this breath soon leave me and the demon powers of the darkness close in to grab my soul? Don't I have anything on the inside that relates to life, to where I can continue to live? Oh, what a sad thought to know that we're born into this world to die, but that when we're born into the next world, the kingdom of God, we're born into it to live. Oh, what a wonderful thought. This morning, examine yourself. Just ask yourself the question, will you? Ask yourself the question, oh Lord, Lord, am I relating to God? Do I love the truth? Is there something that's deep down inside of me, in spite of all of the wretched way that I feel, in spite of all of the drawing and the luring of the fleshly body, is there something deep down inside that whispers, but I want to do right. I want to do right. Is it? Can you find it? The Bible said no man can come to God except the Spirit withdraw him. I say, well, Brother Pike, I don't want to be a Christian. But oh, beloved friend, that isn't it. That isn't it. The Bible said no man can come to God except the Spirit draw him to God. What it is, you're not finding favor with God and the Holy Spirit isn't drawing you. You cannot get saved when you want to get saved. You cannot just do like you want to. The Bible said that Esau sought repentance with bitter tears. He prayed, he begged God for forgiveness. But the Bible said he found no place of repentance. There was no place of repentance, though he pleaded, though he cried. But he had sold his birthright for the things of the world, for a morsel of bread, while his life in this world cried out for the surrounding things of the lust of the flesh. He sold his birthright. And then when time came for the spiritual inheritance of eternal life and eternal things, he had nothing left because he had sold his birthright. Don't do that. Oh, how he wept. Oh, how he pleaded. Oh, how he cried. Oh, how sorry he was. But, beloved friend, it was too late. Life is but a shadow, a vapor that appeared for a while and then vanished away, swifter than a shuttle. Days will be gone before you know it. Years will pass by. And you'll say, my dear God, it don't seem that long. They pass by so quick, and here I stand at the judgment. Here I stand, as the song said, to give an account for every deed that I've done. What a sad moment that will be. What a sad time. Think it over this morning while they're playing. If you'd like to, let's just step down this morning here to the altar. Can you do that? Just step down to the altar. Just keep praying and talking to God. Oh, what a time, what a day, what an hour. Oh, hallelujah. One day that great, wonderful Spirit that you feel in your body. Oh, what it's going to mean to you. Just to feel His Spirit. Don't ever lose His presence. Don't ever lose His presence. Whatever you do, don't ever lose His presence. Always make sure that He's near you and that you're near Him. That you relate to Him. Don't ever break His lovely covenant. God's covenant is the covenant of love. The Bible tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. His great covenant in Christ Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You would say, well, Brother Pike, you said it didn't matter if I believe. It matters if you have true faith. Just believing is one thing. The Bible said if you believe, the devil believes also. That doesn't make the devil a Christian. But having faith in God is a different thing altogether. The Bible said, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you what I believe by what I'm doing. If you believe in the world, you will do the things of the world. If you believe in God, you will do the things of God. That is your faith in action. That is the manifestation of the conviction of your heart. No matter what you say you believe, it's what you do that proves what you believe. I believe in preaching. I believe in winning souls. I believe in telling people about Jesus. Right now, yesterday our tickets came in. We've already got our tickets for our South American crusade. Already our tickets have come in for about 11 or 12 countries, the entirety of South America. We completely cover South America and Puerto Rico and Haiti, maybe the Dominican Republic, Jamaica, all the islands just about out there. When we come back, we'll have covered just about all of them. I do that because I believe in that. I believe in God. I believe what the Bible said, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I believe in that. Friend, what are you doing? That's what you believe in. What are you doing? If you're doing what God tells you to do, then you believe in what God said. If you're not doing what God tells you to do, then you do not believe in what God said, but you believe in what you're doing. And if you do not believe in the words of eternal life, you cannot translate into the kingdom of God, because inside of your human body there is another man, there's another woman, that is a being that's on the inside. The Bible calls it the inner man. And that person, that spirit, that life on the inside is translating either into the world of darkness or into the world of light. It is translating. Your mind is transformating day by day. And because your transformated mind has power over your spirit, then your spirit is translating into the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light. If you go by your own human intelligence, that by which you are born, then you are transformating. Paul said, be therefore transformed by the renewing of your minds. You are transformating into the realms of darkness. If you're going by the Word of God to let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, then you are transformating in your mind into the Spirit, to go into the Spirit of light, to transformate into the Spirit of light. But one way or another, you're transformating, you're translating. Your transformation of mind will cause a translation of your spirit, and then later your body in bodily redemption will take on a transfiguration and change into the glorious image of the lovely sons and daughters of God, to where you'll be preserved eternally and forever. Let's sing this little chorus. While we're standing here worshiping God, let's take just a minute or two, and then we'll let you go. We sang that song, oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face. It's the glory that is changing me. On the inside, from glory to glory, I'm being changed. Let's sing it together, can we? Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face. It's the glory that is changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me. Changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me. Changing me. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face. It's the glory that is changing me. Do you really believe that? If you do, let's sing like this. Oh, let thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ, the Father in the Son. It's in thy shining glory that we see thy Holy One. Now hope is to be like him. Oh, let thy will be done. Sing it one more time. Oh, let thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ, the Father in the Son. For it's in thy shining glory that I see thy Holy One. My hope is to be like him. Oh, let thy will be done. You know, I like this morning, do you feel anything that's relating to God? Do you? Do you feel anything that relates to God? If you do, cherish it. Cherish it. There is nothing in the world that is as glorious as it is. And though you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what have ye profit, or what can ye give to God in that day wherein He will give you your soul back? What can you give in exchange for your soul? You can't. You can't do it. What can you give in exchange for your soul? Words, money, power, prestige, nothing will ever give you a soul back. The soul that's in it shall surely die. And once your soul is gone, that is the end. There is no more hope. So cherish your soul. Cherish your soul. It is your greatest possession. Cherish your soul. No matter what comes your way through life, always cherish your soul. That's your greatest treasure and your greatest possession. Without it, you lose all things. With it, you gain heaven and earth and all things. You love Him. Can you lift your hands with me again now? I want to pray for you. Precious Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that I could come here, Lord, with these people. Lord, as they lift their hands up to heaven and stand here as a testimony of the goodness of the Lord. Father, to fellowship and be numbered with the saints. Holy Father, I pray as I feel Your anointing, as I feel Your Spirit, as I feel Your power, Jesus, heal these sick bodies, eradicate sin and evil from these hearts. Lord, You said, whosoever sins we remit shall be remitted. I remit these sins in the name of Jesus to everyone that will believe. I remit their sins in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, You said, whatever I bind on earth would be bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth would be loosed in heaven. Whatever I blessed, Lord, You said You would bless it. And whatever I cursed, You said You would curse it. And dear God, I bless these children of God this morning. I bless them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Supply their needs physically, spiritually, financially, Lord. Meet all of their needs, Holy Father. I pray that you'd heal them, give them strength, give them a super endurance, give them a real godly intestinal fortitude to face the world, Jesus. Something that the world don't understand. Something that the world cannot see. Be with them. Help them. Lord, bless us from day to day as we worship at Little Bethlehem. Bless the saints of God across the world. Father, many people across the world today, in every corner of the earth, Holy Father, are lifting up holy hands to Thee. And someday, Lord, You'll gather them. The Bible said, and You shall gather Your elect from the four winds of the earth. Holy Father, knowing that not only the Jews are scattered across the world and You'll gather them, but the saints of God are scattered across the world and worshiping Thee in every nook and corner of the world. Holy Father, bind them together. Bring them glad tidings of great joy. Heal their bodies. Make them to rejoice, knowing that they'll live forever in youth and happiness and strength and radiance, without problems, without heartaches, without poverty. That every desire of their heart, Lord, will be sufficed. Holy Father, just a few more days. Just a few more days. Just a few more days, Holy Father. And it'll be so. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's sing another chorus, can we? If your body suffers pain, can you sing with me? And your health you can't regain, and you have to get along on Make-A-Fair. Oh, just remember in God's Word how He fed.